Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at Simplified.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson, and I am super excited to have Dr. Brand Love himself, Aaron Ahuvia, on the show. A fellow professor, more experienced and tenured than I am, for sure, and popular keynote speaker with multiple books. Aaron, thank you for being on the show today.
Annika, it's really a pleasure and a privilege.
Let's talk about your journey. You've been in marketing your whole career, but you didn't start out as a professor.
No, actually, my undergraduate training was in philosophy, so I have a degree in philosophy. It won't surprise any of your listeners to discover that I had a hard time getting a job at post-graduation. I was interested in workplace democracy. Companies are owned by the employees, and ended up getting a job at a finance firm that did that, set up those sorts of companies, and found myself in business school, and then from business school into the PhD program in marketing. And really found that marketing was my home. I've always been very interested in the field. And so I've done a lot of different stuff there. And I'm sure a lot of people think it's sort of oddball stuff that I've been doing, but a bunch of it's really caught on and it's proved to be very, very practical and effective for businesses.
Before we get into that, first of all, my dad was a philosophy professor. So
oh, fantastic.
I grew up sitting in the back of the car thinking, now, what would Nietzsche do in this situation, or Plato would say? So I know it probably sounds like it's disconnected, but I also feel that it's so connected to marketing because you are really thinking about the psychology of how people act and what they do and what construct they're looking, what lens they're looking at things through.
Probably the most helpful thing about a philosophy training is that you absolutely must get over your own feelings and point of view and learn to look at an issue from a number of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So if you turn in a paper and it's just like, you're venting, that's an F right there. You've got to be able to say, look, someone, I might look at it this way, but somebody else would see it this way and somebody else would see it this way. It turns out marketing is incredibly related to that because marketing is about understanding how your customer sees the world, sees their own life, sees your product, your brand, the competition. And that's usually very, very different from the way you yourself see things. And one of the things that people have the hardest time with, and that when I'm teaching, I emphasize to a great degree, is sort of getting over yourself a little bit mm-hmm. and trying to see the world from other people's perspectives, which is easier said than done.
And that's the work that I do in my agency life is a lot of that, right? You don't just look at the demographics, you look at the psychographics. And for that company, it's particularly for adult education, workforce development. And so there are many different factors that play into those things. But I think when it does come to larger brands, a lot of times people build things and just expect people to show up because they are like, this is a brilliant idea. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you developed this, you know, your strategies and this theory of brand love and what that really means. And this is a multi-part question, how you've implemented it across major, major brands that we've all heard of.
Yeah. So a good story. Let's start at the beginning. It's a good place. So it's good place to start. Some of your listeners will have heard of Professor Philip Kotler. He's very famous in marketing circles. And he taught at Northwestern. I was a student in his PhD seminar. And he is just in love with marketing. He's saying everything is marketing. Politics is marketing. Religion, you're marketing a religion. Even dating, you're marketing yourself to this other person. I was single, and I thought dating was way, way more interesting than real marketing. So I asked him if I could do my term paper on dating as marketing. He was very enthusiastic, connected me to a really brilliant woman, a professor, Mara Adelman, who we ended up writing a bunch of papers together. And we became, I can say this without equivocation, the world's leading academic experts on dating services. Because we were the only academics in the whole world who cared. Look at the topic of dating services. Nobody else would go near with the 10-foot pole. It was very stigmatized. Now it is meeting online is the single most common way that people meet their partner. Mm. But at this time, which was around 1985, 8, somewhere in there, it was very stigmatized. The internet was just getting going. So yeah. Most people weren't doing this topic, but we were, and having a lot of fun. And I used to do these workshops in bars, bring in the PhD student in marketing to tell you how to write a singles ad. Tell people how to write singles ads. It was really fun. In any event, I did all this. In order to do that, I had to study the psychology of love, which was also just incredibly interesting research going on there. And I spent a couple of years getting very, very expert in that. But when I was thinking about going on the job market to become a marketing professor, I knew that if I was known as like the dating services professor, right, I was not going to get a job. That wasn't going to go over. So I had to do something else. And I was a little bit, reluctant. I'd spent so much time studying the psychology of love. I didn't want to let all that go. So I thought, people don't say that they love products. They say they love brands. Right. We hear that all the time. Do they? Well, what's really going on there? How does that work psychologically? So I just pivoted, took that over to people's love of products and brands and activities and all sorts of other stuff. And that was the origin. At the time I did that, there were a couple people who had said, it's interesting that people use this term, but nobody had ever done like a major study of this topic. So my research was the first real sort of in-depth scientific work looking at that topic. And it really has caught on. Now, if you go into Google Scholar and you type in brand love, you'll find over 20,000 academic papers talking about this topic. But at that time, that was it. So the first thing I wanted to know is whether people really do love things. And the answer is yes. Although it turns out, now that we're able to do more neuroscience and scan people's brains as they're thinking about these things, that there are things that are in common, enough to say that when you love a brand, it's really love. But there's also some differences that are going on there too. And one of the main things that's in common, and this will show up, this is very important. I know your listeners, a lot of them are looking for applications in marketing. Well, one of the main things that's the same when people love a brand is when they love a product, love a person, is that our identity is very, very much involved.
Yeah.
People say that, in love, two become one, right? That you kind of merge with this other person, your identity merges with this other person when you fall in love with them. And that psychological level is very true. That's what's, fundamentally happening in your brain. Your brain is coming to see them as part of your own self, your own identity. Yeah. When you fall in love with a person. And that's the same thing what happens with a product or with a brand. So one of the things that really underlies brand love is this connection where the consumer comes to see the product or brand as part of their identity. And that takes us to a really interesting point with marketing.
Yeah.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Well, and what you just said, I think this is something I talk about with my students all the time, and I'm sure you do too. What we saw during the pandemic, of course, is that companies had to go online a lot faster than they anticipated. But the ones who were doing it right, it wasn't only getting there and doing it right and showing up, but the audience was also, we were all at home paying much more attention to things. And so people were really investigating the brands that they were using and that they were invested in. And so now we hear this a lot, right, from our students, and we see it in the market, that people really do want to know that brands, for the most part, have the same ethos as them, that it's something they can stand behind or stand with, and that they're not going to see the missteps of, you think of like the Pepsi commercial that happened during Black Lives Matter protest, and or, you know, you think of different things like that. And maybe there are a few things that they'll say, well, I really like this one sandwich, so I don't care what the politics of the owners are. But everything else, if it's something that we're using day to day, we want to make sure that we can really believe that they are who they say they are.
Yeah. Fundamentally, there's two different kinds of strategies that you can use in marketing that are related at least to the way what my work has found and what many other people who do more of a neuroscience approach than I do as well. And so there's a big split. The human brain automatically separates objects from people and thinks about them in very different ways. Well, to the point, when I say different ways, I really mean physically different operations happen in your brain when you're thinking about an object versus when you're thinking about a person. However, there are quite a few times when the brain will make an object like an honorary person. And I'll sort of like think about this brand as if it was a person. So it starts treating it in the, giving it the human treatment, right? I sometimes call that living in person world. So your brand is going to live in person world in the brain. And if you do that, that's when all of this issues about connecting to people's identity, expressing values, developing relationships with people, that's where all that comes in. And that's where you get high levels of brand loyalty and a willingness to pay a price premium and sort of the levels of brand enthusiasm, where if somebody goes on the internet and says something bad about a brand, the people will defend, the lovers of the brand will come to defend the brand. Like, you think about it, like, it's kind of weird. Like, we're all really busy. Why is someone taking time out of their day to do this? Well, it's because they think of that brand as part of their own identity. And when it's attacked, they personally feel attacked. Mm-hmm. So all of those great behaviors are linked to getting consumers to think about your brand, to have it live in person world in their brain, you know, to think about it that way. That said, doing that is expensive and difficult. And there are other strategies, which are just a different set of strategies that say, you know what, your brain thinks this is an object, and it is an object, and we're just going to live with that. And if the consumers are going to see this as an object, then you're not going to have as high brand loyalty. They're not going to pay a big price premium for it. They're going to, you know, look for the best value and look for a discount. But you can still be very successful. And a lot of times it's difficult to get people's brains to think about objects as if they're people, because if they're not, right? And so the benefit of that, okay, you don't get the same level of brand loyalty, you don't get the same level of pricing power, you don't get the same level of enthusiasm, but you've got a much more realistic challenge. Right now, you're just talking what I call useful, pleasant, easy. So you got to convince the consumer that this product's really useful. You have to make the buying and interacting with the product experience very pleasant. At best, yet enjoyable, but if you can't get it enjoyable, at least not unpleasant. And you have to make the whole thing really, really easy for people. Easy to shop for, easy to buy, easy to use. And if you can be useful, pleasant, and easy, you can do very well in that way without creating this whole personified endeavor. So for entrepreneurs, that's a fundamental choice you have to make early on. Yeah. And those are very different kinds of strategies. And brand love is definitely, brand love is very similar. If people are using Net Promoter, Net Promoter, customer satisfaction, brand love, the people who are supporting these different principles, we come on podcasts like yours, and we try and convince everybody that ours is better and that there's this huge difference between them. But they're pretty similar. They're all like trying to create this relationship with the customer where you have a high level of enthusiasm and satisfaction and commitment from the customer. That's, quite different from an approach, say, Walmart, where Walmart is making a ton of money. And there are people who love Walmart. There are people with Walmart tattooed on their arm. I'm not saying that nobody loves Walmart. There are people who do. Absolutely. But that's not central to Walmart's strategy.
Right.
They're just trying to be really, really high value for customers. And that's a different kind of...
And their value is based on cost factor versus other things, being environmentally sound, sustainable, other things that people might think of, how the products are sourced, how people are paid to make the products. So a lot of times when we're taking clients through marketing and branding, we talk about customer personas and we talk about brand personality and tone and how you speak to your customers and making sure you're really mapping to this one or two avatars to start with. So when you say that that is effective for the easy, useful, like that is how people should approach brands, or is there something else that is a strategy that we're not thinking of or that people need to really implement?
That's not a bad thing in any marketing strategy, right? Having some sort of a coherent brand image and brand message and sticking with that is a good idea no matter who you are. And if you're trying for just sort of useful, pleasant, and easy, that personality is going to be very simple and it's going to be a least common denominator personality. It's going to be helpful and cheerful and nice. Good, right? trustworthy, helpful, cheerful, nice. That's it. It's not going to take stands on political issues. It's not going to have moral views on the world, right? Interestingly, I used Walmart as an example. But Walmart is interesting because this may surprise some of your listeners, but Walmart has done more to reduce waste, help the environment, than many, many other companies. It's built in, they see it as a cost-saving measure, but they get rid of all kinds of excess packaging, excess shipping. They just, cut all that stuff to the bone, and they've actually done a tremendous amount that's environmentally very good.
Wow.
However, no one thinks of that, and they don't brag about it, and they're not trying to do it. They don't want to go into your politics at all. That's not their business, right? So, and they're simple, like the Walmart avatar, if you recall, at least it was a couple of years ago when last I checked, it was the smiling circle.
Yeah.
It was like a smiley face.
Yeah.
Could that be more simple and bland than a smiley face?
Exactly.
Right. Opposite Patagonia. Mm-hmm. Patagonia, perfect example of a completely different approach.
Right.
Very political, very on message all the time, very committed. And as a result, people pay a huge price premium for Patagonia. I have heard people refer to it as Patagucci.
Right.
Just given the price premium that they're able to get for their products. And people are passionate about it and loyal to it in this really intense way. So that's also a very good strategy. So if you are a mission-driven brand, if you are going out there and you're saying, I want to make money, but I also want to do good in the world, in that kind of a situation, it makes you're going to be looking at a brand love strategy, right? And again, you don't have to call brand love, you can call customer satisfaction, you could call it net promoter. These are all the same. You call people talk about super fans now as a term. We want to generate super fans. These are all like a family of closely related ideas, but that's the strategy you're going to go for. And to do that, you are going to have to get the consumers to start thinking about your product as a person. And I can talk about a number of different ways to do that.
I would love to hear that, yeah.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, so the first way that you get people to think about your product as a person is through anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism is a very long word for simply means that, you know, the product that looks like a person, it sounds like a person, it acts like a person. So cars, the front of the car looks like a face. The headlights look like eyes. People name their cars. That anthropomorphizes the car. It makes them think of it more as a person. I've done some research showing that anthropomorphizing products leads consumers to love them more and has a lot of benefits. And that's really catching on. You're seeing industry, a lot of products now, much more than used to be, where the product itself, even if it isn't inherently like this, like I've got this scrubby sponge, which is done probably well used to clean the dishes.
Yeah.
It's just a sponge. It could be any shape they want it to be. It's a circle with a smiley face cut into it, right?
Yeah. So there's even the things that you can put on the side of your sinks that it sticks onto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's become much more popular. And it's like the most straightforward and obvious way. How do you get people to think your product is a person? You make it look like a person. Now, I should specify or clarify that your brain makes this decision about whether something is a product or an object or a person. It makes it two different times in two totally different ways. So it makes the decision consciously, and separately, it makes the decision unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at the scrubby sponge with the smiley face in it. Your conscious mind is not fooled. It knows that's not a person.
Hey.
So if you're listening to this interview and you're like, that man is insane. I've got a scrubby sponge. I know it's not a person, right? Well, you'd be absolutely right. Your conscious mind knows it's not a person. You're in the unconscious mind making that same decision, and it is doing it very differently. If it's got a scrubby face, a smiley face, that might not be enough to fully, you're unconscious by to see it as totally as a person, but it does move it a little bit in that direction. And there are lots of situations where your conscious mind is not fooled, but your unconscious mind is completely fooled by this. And one of the classics that we're going to start hearing a ton about are these relationship avatars. There's a well-known website called Replica, spelled caught with a K, and you go on there and you give information about yourself and it creates an avatar, like an animated human being that talks to you, and you can have conversations with it and it can be your friend. It used to be that they had a love romance mode where it would become your lover, but they stopped that due to all kinds of complications that were happening. But people were genuinely, deeply falling in love with these animated avatars on the computer. And the reason for that is that their conscious mind, of course, knows this is not a person. And what's funny, when you interview them, they're very explicit about this. They've realized this. They'll say, my conscious mind knows this is not a person, but somehow I'm falling in love with it anyway. And the somehow is that unconsciously, your brain thinks it is a person. It's got enough of those cues. It talks. It looks like a person. It talks to you, right? It's classifying this as a person. And the part of your brain that falls in love, that's the unconscious part of your brain. Mm-hmm. You cannot make yourself, you cannot decide you're going to fall in love with someone and make yourself love them, right? Falling in love is very much an unconscious process. And so if your unconscious mind thinks this avatar is a person, you could really, really fall in love with that.
Wow.
So that's the first approach. And I'll let you get a word of advice about that one before I go on to some of the others.
It's very Black Mirror-esque is all I'm going to say, right?
It is. Right. And so like on one extreme are these avatars that people literally fall in love with, you know, a bunch of milder extreme is something like Siri that you talk to.
Yeah.
Or again, a car where the front of the car has a kind of a personality based on the shape and what kind of face it looks like. It has. All right. That's the most straightforward, but it's actually the least common,
really
used, least common example of this. The next up is connecting the product or brand to an actual human being.
Mm-hmm.
So if the consumer comes to see a strong connection, then they come to see the product or brand essentially as an extension of that person. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about it that way. And here's a very simple example that makes this pretty clear. So imagine you are dating somebody and you really like that person, and they give you a vase as a present, and you look at it, you're like, oh, this is so beautiful. And you put it like on a shelf in your house, and you're happy every time you see it, and your friends come over and you say, look at this wonderful new vase, and you love that vase. Then you break up with that person. You have a terrible breakup. You're furious with them. You never want to see them again. You walk and you see that vase. Oh, man, you're getting rid of that vase, right? You got no more interest. And what that shows is that your feelings about the vase are really an expression of your feelings about the person that it's connected to psychologically for you. And we see this a lot when we need to clean our house and there's things that we really should get rid of and we can't bear to part with them because we've got this emotional connection to them. Very often, those are things that either if maybe it was a gift from another person or a souvenir reminds you of another person. Or maybe the item was something from your own past that reminds you of your former self when you were younger, but it's got some connection to a person. And it's that human connection that's making it hard for you to get rid of the object. So that's a very common way. And that shows up in marketing very frequently. So Steve Jobs with Apple, people really related to Steve Jobs and they connected to Apple that way. It's one of the ways. Apple's very good at this. Apple's very interested in brand love. Apple very explicitly runs their business around brand love. And if you want to see an example of brand love at work, watch what Apple does, because they're very explicit about this. So that's one example. Enzo Ferrari created the Ferrari cars. People who are really into Ferraris are overwhelmingly fascinated with the life of Enzo Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And that's a very strong connection for them. You also see this with celebrity endorsers. It's one of the reasons celebrity endorsers can be powerful, because you come to see the brand as connected to them. So those are all approaches. I know a lot of your listeners are small business people or entrepreneurs. If you're an entrepreneur, this is incredibly powerful. And the person that the brand is going to be associated with is you, right? It's you. You're the person involved, right? You're not going to have a celebrity endorser, but you're the human being that things get attached to. And however important you think your personal relationships are with customers, they're more important than you think.
Absolutely.
You cannot overestimate. It's impossible because they're absolutely central to what's going on. And people really do see your brand as part of you as a person. And if anyone falls in love with their brand, it's not the same as you. Don't mistake their falling in love with your brand for them falling in love with you. But they're able to fall in love with their brand because they see it as somewhat human. And they see it as somewhat human because they attach it to you. And we see this when, you know, it can sometimes be a problem. Like if you own a hair salon, people get very attached to the person who's doing their hair. And then if that person moves to a different salon, they'll often take their business to the other salon, right? Because they've become more attached to the individual person who's cutting their hair than they have to the brand. So that just shows how strong these sort of personal connections can be.
And you've answered a few things that I was going to tee up. So this is perfect because that was my next thought is I think about all of the companies where people want to retire from their businesses, from their small, very successful businesses, or the nonprofit world. We see a lot of issues with that. People who are the founder and everybody who loves that nonprofit is so attached to the founder that whether it's a for-profit or a nonprofit, right? That when that person leaves, it doesn't matter who they put in place. It's just not the same. And the customers and clients don't necessarily want to keep donating or keep working with that agency or whatever the case may be. So how does somebody create brand love and this brand loyalty, but also make sure that they are set up for that longevity if that is one of their goals?
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's a really good question. That's a very hard question. What sometimes companies can do, and this, you know, may or may not be the founder's vision, is the founder can kind of stay on as a figurehead and semi-retire, right. Let most of the work go to someone else. And in situations where I've been in that sort of situation, I've actually personally enjoyed that because now all the bad work goes to somebody else. All you have to do is, you know, you just have to like wave to people and show up and give talks. And that's, you know, a lot of the more pleasant kinds of aspects of the job. So that's one possibility to sort of stay connected. Another possibility is to do some sort of a handoff that takes place over time. So instead of, oh, I created this nonprofit, it's 100% me until July 21st. And from that point on, it's this other person going to sort of have a gradual transition where you start doing things together. You start meeting with people together and they get to know this other person and that sort of hands off. I mean, this is one of the things that I advise to companies. This tends to be for companies that have customers who are spending more money, like a lot of money with them. This is a little bit on the expensive side to do this. But often a company will have a situation where you can phone in and ask questions and you just get the next available operator.
Okay.
But if you are a client who's going to spend a good deal of money over time, trying to have a support team that is dedicated to a couple of different clients and have the same people get to know that client, get to know their needs, their issues, and develop a relationship with that client. And you can do that with just one person, but the danger there is that that person leaves, they take a lot of that knowledge with them and they take the relationship with them.
Yeah.
But if you have a group of, say, two or maybe three people that are on a team, one of them can leave, the relationship shifts to the other two people who are already have those social connections, and then you can hire in another person and then they'll sort of absorb things. So that kind of a gradual transition is one way to handle that.
Nice. I do want to talk about your books, which for those who are watching the episode can see them.
Sure.
So yeah, Dr. Erin Ahuvia, please tell us, can somebody read your books and find out more if they can't go to University of Michigan in person?
Any listener who is around Ann Arbor or Dearborn, where I teach on the Dearborn campus, who wants to discuss these issues, I'm genuinely offering. I'd be happy to talk to anybody. However, if you want to read the book, the current book is called The Things We Love. And for those of you who are on video, you can see it here. So The Things We Love and How Our Passions Connect Us and Make Us Who We Are. And it lays out a lot of the issues I'm talking about here. It's not a managerial book. It's not teaching you how to do marketing. It's teaching you the underlying psychology behind brand love, but also, you know, why people love music, why they love food, why people love dancing, all kinds of different sports, things that people love. And in that way, readers have told me they found it really fun. They could find themselves in it. They learned a lot about themselves. The goal was to have something that would help you with your business because you understand consumer psychology. But, you know, when you pick up a book, you spend enough time working on your business. Don't you want something that's fun to read?
Yes, absolutely.
And then it teaches you a little bit about yourself beyond your business. So that's the attempt with that book at all, at least. So it's called The Things We Love, Our Passions Connect Us and Make Us Who We Are.
Fantastic.
And you can get it anywhere, at any major bookstore or any of the online.
Well, would you like us to link to a website or to any specific platform?
Sure. I'd love to do speaking, and I've got a website that you can link to called Dr. Brand Love, all one word. So Dr. Brand Love, or you could spell out doctor. It should get you there either way. And that has information about me as a speaker, and it's a great way to connect. And I'd love to hear from you through that website as well.
That's fantastic. Well, you've given so much tangible information to me and to our listeners today on just different approaches to take. I did want to ask, because you said that if somebody is going to look at a brand as a person, that is a much more time intensive and costly process.
Yes.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So the three basic strategies for doing that, it doesn't matter. All these strategies have some things in common. You've got to have a really good product. You've got to give good service. You have to have value for money, all that kind of basic stuff. And same with like marketing. You have to have brand awareness and recognition. All the fundamentals of marketing are the same at one level. But then you're pumping it up. If you want them to start looking at it as a person, you can either some combination of anthropomorphism, right? Or just connecting it in their mind to a human being, you yourself, the brand owner or an endorser or people who work there, characters in the advertising, making some sort of a human connection with it. And then the third way, which I mentioned earlier, is to get consumers to see it as part of themselves, part of their own identity. So when it expresses their values or when it has some sort of a connection, like it's from a certain place. Oh, I'm from Ann Arbor. And Zingerman's in this restaurant that's very much associated with Ann Arbor. And so I see Zingerman's as, you know, part of my extended sort of sense of identity in that way. Any one of those three approaches, and hopefully some combination of all of them, help get the brain to start thinking about in these more human ways. And it's a great approach, but it does have some dangers. It doesn't guarantee love. Think about it, all the people that you know. You don't love all of them.
Right.
So, and you're thinking about all of them as if they're people. And if you do this and your product isn't good, you can have a very bad reaction. People actually get more angry at a product that is performing poorly. If they see it as just an object, then, well, it's just a malfunctioning product. But if they see it as a person, then it's an asshole. I mean, it's just this bad person out there who's out to get them. They get much more angry in those situations. So it's got to be the product. But if you can combine very high quality product, a connection to people's values, and an enjoyable experience, enjoyability is also a difference. If your product lends itself to something that's enjoyable, it's a lot easier to create brand love. So if your product is something that's just very, very functional and doesn't have that sort of hedonic enjoyment, fun aspect to it, it's oftentimes better just to say, all right, people are going to be an object. I want this to be useful, pleasant, and easy, and focus a lot on distribution and a lot of reminder advertising and kind of plow ahead that way.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that you've shared your knowledge with us, your book, and just different things and ways for people to think about approaching their businesses, particularly if they are thinking about a rebrand. They're maybe stuck in a cycle of, okay, we got here, but we can't take it to the next level. How do we do that? Or starting a new business. I think all of these approaches are really important to think through and think about what's going to work for each of you who are listening or watching and how you can combine them, as Dr. Aaron Ahuvia said. So I got your last name in there three times.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Of course. And of course, we'll link to your website. People can find out more about you. I always like to ask if you have a favorite quote, mantra, or some final words of wisdom you'd like to leave with us today.
Yeah, I have so many, but the one that pops into my head at this moment is the lazy person works twice as hard. And it is a cliche, but it is so true. And it comes into my head because it's something that I wrestle with sometimes. I like to be smart. I like to find a smart, clever way to do something that's going to make it easier. And sometimes the easier way to do things is just to do them. But it also speaks a lot to planning. I think the reason the lazy person works twice as hard most of the time is that they don't really plan appropriately. They're lazy in the planning. And then because they're lazy in the short term, they work much harder in the long term. So a lot of the things that I'm talking about here have to do with that kind of strategic planning, have to do with figuring out what your overall strategy is going to be so that you can then work more efficiently in the future. So I know if you're a listener and you're thinking, oh, that all sounds good, but I really don't have time to deal with that now. I assure you, however busy you are now, you'll be that busy later as well. And if you can spend some time working out these sorts of decisions early, it will benefit you because then the work you put in will be well placed.
Fantastic. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation. And again, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you to everybody who's watching or listening. Don't forget to leave us a rating, review, follow, subscribe, so that we can keep delivering more amazing content to you and to other entrepreneurs who need to find their way here to learn from my experts on their journey.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.